ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 40। आत्मनम् चेत् विजानीयात् परम ज्ञान दुष्टाशय किमिच्छन् कस्य वाहेतोर् देहं पुष्णाति लम्पटः। ट्रांसलेशन। द ह्यूमन फॉर्म ऑफ बॉडी इज मेंट फॉर अंडरस्टैंडिंग द सेल्फ एंड द सुप्रीम सेल्फ, द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड, both of whom are transcendentally situated. If both of them can be understood when one is purified by advanced knowledge, for what reason and for whom does a foolish, greedy person maintain the body for sense gratification? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Of course, everyone in this material world is interested in maintaining the body for sense gratification. But by cultivating knowledge, one should gradually understand that the body is not the self. Both the soul and the super soul are transcendental to the material world. This is to be understood in the human form of life, especially when one takes sannyas. A sannyasi, one who has understood the self, should be engaged in elevating the self and associating with the super self. Our Krishna consciousness movement is meant for elevating the living being for promotion back home, back to Godhead. Seeking such elevation is one's duty in human form of life. Unless one performs his duty, this duty, why should one maintain the body? Especially if a sannyasi not only maintains the body by ordinary means, but does everything to maintain the body, including even eating meat and other abominable things, he must be a lampata, a greedy person simply engaged in sense gratification. A sannyasi must specifically remove himself from the urges of the tongue, belly and genitals, which disturb one as long as one is not fully aware that the body is separate from the soul. Hare Krishna. The human form of body is meant for understanding the self and the super self, the supreme personality of Godhead, both of whom are transcendentally situated. If both of them can be understood when one is purified by advanced knowledge, for what reason and for whom does a foolish, greedy person maintain the body for sense gratification? So in this chapter entitled Instructions for a Civilized Human Being, various teachings are imparted for various ashramas, and these particular verses especially describing the instructions for renounced order of life, sannyas. And even the previous verse we have seen yesterday, that how it is heavily condemned, that like this verse begins with the line that the human form of body is meant for understanding the self and the supreme self, that is supreme personality of Godhead. That human form, despite of which kind of birth, whatever region or whatever race or whatever color, as soon as one gets the body of a human being, then it is explained that that body is meant for self-realizations. So from whatever level one may be, he should start the process of understanding how he is not this body and who is God and what is my relationship. So that special gift one should never underestimate. And we have seen how great acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, they have tried to uplift anyone, whosoever they met, to come to this point of Krishna consciousness. Because only in human form we can understand that we are not this body. Otherwise, animals, it is practically impossible. And while giving instructions how to live our life in such a way that we can actually come to this understanding is what comprises the Vedic instructions. And here the instructions are for civilized human being. That means it is understood that they are already in the process of spiritual life, living certain type of life where they are practicing spiritual practices. But among them also we see how people deviate and do something which is not appropriate. Like Prabhupada is writing, sannyasi, maintaining body for sannyasi is something unusual, living for the body's sake. And what to speak of eating meat, sannyasi eating meat, something heavily condemned. Like yesterday our Prabhuji was giving class, Srinanth Prabhu, and we are speaking about these Buddhist people, that how the teachings are quite pure. In the sense, you should follow certain things in a certain way, supposed to. But then among them also, there are many in the sect of Buddhists who eat meat. Although Lord Buddha's teachings was Ahimsa Paramo Dharma, one of the teachings, that non-violence is the param dharma for them. But yet, so-called follower of Buddha, they are eating meat. Even their leader, one of the leaders, is kind of addicted to meat. One of our devotees explaining to me that how one of proper disciples traveling with him in an airplane, and they're sitting next to each other. And the air hostess, she came and asked, what would you prefer in your lunch? Vegetarian, non-vegetarian? He said, I'll take non-veg. Then this devotee, he asked, how could you eat meat? Then he said, no, whatever comes on our way, we take it. Then he said, but you had a choice. No, choice was there, but it was coming my way, so I took it. So he didn't argue much, just started eating. So they try to do so many things. So similarly, in Vedic culture also, there are many justification, many way people try to divert from the standard spiritual practices, giving so many different kind of excuses. And that's what Prabhupada is describing as lampata. Lampata means he is addicted to sense gratifications, starting with tongue, belly and genitals. So it is explained in 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that a person commits sinful activities, there are various kind of hell that are there. And Parikshit Maharaj is asking where these hells are to Sukhdev Goswami. Normal people think that hells are something fictitious or mythology. But here the greatest king, Parikshit Maharaj, is the last emperor of this world. After him, I don't think anybody was, his son was there for some time. But they are the last people who actually ruled the world. Nowadays, many people are trying to rule the world by various means, by uniting the economies and so many ways they are trying to control the world. But it's very difficult. But they were so pure kings, they were actually controlling the entire kingdom. And he is asking Sukhdev Goswami, who is the best of all sages, about hellish planets. And he is going to die in few days. Parikshit Maharaj is going to leave his body in few days and he is asking about hell. One may be thinking he should ask about Golok Vrindavan and all these things. But then this transcendental knowledge, we'll be discussing some about it. It not only gives knowledge of spiritual world, it also gives a detailed knowledge of this world. Normally we think the knowledge we have is the best knowledge about this world, but actually we don't have perfect knowledge, we don't have complete knowledge. The complete knowledge is provided by the scripture. So the knowledge about this world comes in Vedas, therefore that can also be called, the knowledge about this world which is coming from Vedas or from Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental knowledge. And it is complete. And he is asking, where are the hells? Where are they situated? And then he is explaining, it's just above this Garvada Kosan, and below Patal Lok. Till Patal Lok, these demoniac people are living, they are enjoying material comforts. But below their planets is the Hellish, they are very close to Hellish planet. Those are very demoniac. This Yamadutta doesn't have to travel a lot to catch them. They are very close. But from Bhulok, it is quite far. And he says there are three grades of Hellish planets, three grades. In one grade, those who commit sinful activities but are ignorant because of, for example, say madness. And mad people, sometimes we say mad people roam naked because of mental disorder and very pitiable situation. That itself is suffering actually. So for them, when they commit sinful activities, not that they will go without any award of punishment. They do get, but it is very, very mild. That is first grade of Hellish planets. Then those who are so-called Sen people, materialistic people, who could afford to study Vedas, who could afford to understand what are the rules, who just shut their eyes as if they don't know. They think these are all mythology or things like that. How can a person who commit a crime go without punishment in this world? Even in this world, in living in a society, how can a person think, I will do bad things and still I will not be caught? He has to pay for it. So in a civilized society, similarly, anybody who commits sinful activities without any respect for scriptural injunctions and the laws, then he goes to the next grade of punishment, next grade of Hellish planets, where the punishment is more severe. And then there is a third grade of hell, Hellish planets, which are real severe punishment is given to those who, after having knowledge, commit sinful activities. So therefore, those who are an renounced leader has to be very, very, very careful about not coming. Sometimes we think, okay, now that we are in a spiritual life, we are now elevated devotees, therefore will be, for, of course, Krishna says, api cheta sudhura acharo. But then he adds, vajante mam ananyavak. So that is accidental fall down, that is a different thing. But committing sinful activities, thinking that my spiritual life will purify me, is an offense. Say the seventh offense in the holy name, against holy name. Now similarly, those who commit sinful activities, or despite having the knowledge, they get the maximum punishment in the Hellish planets. So sinful activities is bad. Actually, it creates a very foul environment. It creates a bad environment where one cannot experience happiness or spiritual bliss. Whereas a clean life without any sinful activities or propensities or desires creates an environment where one can actually experience the bliss of spiritual life and really spiritual life and thus progress. So it is condemned that for a renounced person to try to enjoy his tongue, belly and genitals is completely wrong. It's called lampata. Lampata means addicted, bad behavior. So, but then how one can overcome? The moment, why we got a body in this material world? Because we have desire to enjoy, basically. Even the human body, because there is a certain desire to enjoy, therefore we get a body. Now, having desiring something and after getting it, how to deny sense gratification? It is very difficult in one sense. It's very difficult. But then, through the process of knowledge, one can purify his desires, which were originally meant for sense gratification. The original desire to enjoy, therefore we got the body. But because of knowledge, one starts to purify his desires and desire the right thing in a right way so that he can enjoy, or by helping Krishna enjoy, he also releases his life. comes to knowledge. Therefore, in this verse it is explained that we are spirit soul. We are not this body. And Krishna is the Supreme Lord, personality of Godhead. Now these two are transcendental to this material world. Therefore, to our body also. Our body is made up of 8 elements, earth, water, air, fire, ether, mind, intelligence and ego. These are our bodies comprising of. The whole creation is comprising of these 8 elements, the material creation. But we are transcendental to this material creation, both the Lord and the living entity. And it is explained then, for what reason and for whom does a foolish, greedy person maintain the body for sense gratification? He says, for what reason? That is understandable, because we are not this body, and there is no reason for us to try to maintain a body to enjoy. But the another thing it says, for whom does a foolish person try to enjoy? Because he himself is not going to, his spirit soul, and the Lord has no interest, he is Supreme Lord. So Lord is not interested in our sense gratification, and we being spirit soul, apart from the body, is not supposed to engage in sense gratification. Our original duty is to serve Krishna. Then for whom we maintain the body for sense gratification? The question comes here. So therefore, if one is purified by advanced knowledge, then he can actually give up this sense gratification. And that's what the whole process of transcendental knowledge is explained in Srimad Bhagavad Gita by Krishna to Arjuna. So we'll discuss a little bit about that. Basically from the 4th chapter, which is also entitled Transcendental Knowledge. So if we see this chapter of Gita, that is 4th chapter, we have to, first of all, we have to understand what is transcendental knowledge, and secondly, how to gain this knowledge, then how to realize this knowledge, and the result of obtaining transcendental knowledge. These are the 4 things basically explained. Apart from that, Krishna first of all encourages Arjuna to perform activities without any material motives, to start with. The motive should be clear. So what is transcendental knowledge? That's like explained here in the first few lines, that we are not this body, spirit, soul. That is the first transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge means knowledge that comes from the spiritual world. Just like we say trans Yamuna, for example, or beyond Yamuna. Similar knowledge that is coming beyond, from beyond this world, that is spiritual world, is called transcendental knowledge. Or the knowledge which cannot be obtained by one's own material endeavor, because the knowledge is beyond material purview. So therefore, this Bhagavad Gita being spoken by Lord Krishna is transcendental knowledge, because Lord Krishna is from spiritual world. Similarly, all the pure devotees, all the acharyas who come in this parampara and get this knowledge and impart it to us, that is also called transcendental knowledge. So then the next question is, Lord Krishna says in the very beginning of the Gita, the 4th chapter, that janma karma chame divyam yavam vyakti tattva taktva deham punar janmam neti mam veti sotattva neti mam so Arjuna. That one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities in truth does not take birth again in this material world. So if we know Krishna's appearance and activities as transcendental in tattva, in truth, then we will be able to overcome taking birth in this material world, which is full of miseries. So the knowledge is there. Krishna is Supreme Lord, transcendental personality, all attractive, all beautiful, supreme personality. And we are spirit soul, also transcendental and part and parcel of the Lord. But to know it in truth, is another stage. That means how to gain this knowledge. And Krishna explains that by performing various sacrifices, one can gain transcendental knowledge. So sacrifice leads to knowledge. So one may ask how. So if you, I'll just read this text 33, very nice purport and text. Then we'll discuss a little bit. Krishna says, Shreyan Drabhya Mahad Yajnyan Yajna Jnana Yajna Parantapa Sarvam Karma Khilam Partha Jnane Pari Samapyate. Translation: O chastiser of the enemy, the sacrifice performed in knowledge is better than the mere sacrifice of material possessions. After all, O son of Pritha, all sacrifices of work culminate in transcendental knowledge. So just like if one performs sinful activities with or without knowledge, he has different results. Similarly, if we perform spiritual activities without knowledge, benefit is there, but then little will go to maybe heavenly planets. Or Solpam Vipasya Dharmasya. Even if you perform little, you are advancing in the spiritual life, no doubt. But if when it is performed with knowledge properly, to please the Lord in a proper way, with all our intelligence and mind and senses focused, then the benefit is much, much higher. So therefore, Krishna says that sacrifice performed in knowledge is better than mere sacrifice of material possessions. Then he says, after all, O son of Pritha, all sacrifices of work culminate in transcendental knowledge. So first of all, you have to perform activities, sacrifices in knowledge. And when you do that, you gain transcendental knowledge. So it is like something little like circular. You have to perform sacrifice in knowledge to gain transcendental knowledge. So then if you don't have knowledge, then how can you perform it with knowledge? The question may come. But whatever little knowledge we apply it, then we get more knowledge. Then apply that, then you'll get more knowledge. Like that it goes on. It is increasing knowledge. And ultimately it culminates in transcendental knowledge. And Prabhupada gives a very nice purport here. He says the purpose of all sacrifice is to arrive at the status of complete knowledge. Then to gain release from material miseries and to ultimately to engage in loving service to the Supreme Lord. So one may ask here, this is before I read this, that how sacrifice can lead to knowledge? It is not difficult to understand. Somebody may say, what is the relation of sacrifice with knowledge? To gain any kind of knowledge, we have to perform sacrifice. That we should know. Like I remember when I was in school, maybe around 10th standard, there was a World Cup. Cricket was going on somewhere in the world. And they used to live telecast the matches. But then my studies were there. So I decided not to watch the matches because those days used to be very long, you know, all day the match would go on. So I would just see the highlights and sacrifice the sitting in front of television for the whole match. So the sacrifice was there, not watching the match. And because of that sacrifice, I was able to study. And what the study means, suppose you like something, somebody likes science, that means he is giving his intelligence, senses and mind into that fire of that knowledge of science. Sacrifice is going on, the ahuti. You offer your intelligence into that fire and become full. that is one way. Somebody likes commerce, for example. He thinks, now why there is various grades of people perform sacrifice, Prabhupada explains. Sacrifice sometimes take different forms according to the particular faith of the performer. So sacrifice takes different form depending on the faith. So if you have faith that by studying science or technology I will be happy, then your sacrifices, your intelligence, everything goes in the fire of that knowledge and gaining that knowledge. So you sacrifice watching television, eating. People stop eating before their exams. They eat less and less so that they can study more and more. Because if you eat a lot, then you go to sleep, naturally. So they balance everything. Very, very controlled diet, controlled sense gratification basically. Everything is controlled. So one has faith that by studying medicine, I'll be happy. So his intelligence and everything goes in that fire. One who thinks, if I go to stock market, I'll be much more happier than all these people. Then his intelligence and everything is offered in that fire. So according to different faith. So Prabhupada says, when one's faith reaches the stage of transcendental knowledge, the performer sacrifices should be considered more advanced than those who simply sacrifice material possessions without such knowledge. Prabhupada says that everybody is performing sacrifices, but some with material motives. But when that motive or faith is directed towards transcendental knowledge, then that sacrifice is the highest. So everybody in this world cannot live without sacrifice. Very difficult. So he says, for without attainment of knowledge, that is transcendental knowledge, sacrifices remain on the material platform and bestow no spiritual benefit. So therefore, devotees, especially those who are aspiring and those who want to advance in the knowledge of spiritual life, they have to have the faith that this knowledge is going to give me results in which, by which I'll be actually happy. So unless that faith is there, we cannot start performing these sacrifices. It will be all ritualistic. It will be superfluous. Or without, there will not be any, it will not culminate with knowledge. So the sacrifice has to be done in a proper way. And when we do it, when the sacrifice is done properly, like following regulative principles, with faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with faith that I will understand I am not this body, and the sacrifice is performed, then gradually one comes to the platform of knowledge. So, by practicing spiritual life over a period of time, with proper faith and proper practice, one is sure to understand that how he is not this body, and how the Supreme Lord is actually the controller. So then the next question is, how to realize? Understanding or knowing thing is one aspect. The other aspect is actually realizing. Realizing knowledge gives you confidence, and after that one does not fall down basically. Just like if you study certain subjects very seriously over a period of time, like for example, if I say there is a famous equation in science, it's called E is equal to mc square. Most people know it, even school kids know it. Now anybody who reads English, he can read this equation, E equals mc square. Very simple. But by reading that, one does not understand it. And even after understanding that, one may not realize it. There are three different aspects. Because understanding takes you to some, what is mass, what is, you know, all these things. What is C, what is, all these things. But then to realize what it means is something mind-boggling. So those who realize this equation, they're always scared. Because they thought this could, the first atomic bomb when it was exploded, this equation was testified. So you can understand what it is. When the first bomb exploded, this equation was testified that it is true. So that is the power of this equation. So those who knew it before the bomb was exploded, even before the bomb was exploded, those who knew what it was, realized people, they were confident and they were very disturbed actually. So similarly, even before we actually see Krishna face to face or have interactions with him, those who are really advanced in this knowledge, they have that confidence. They feel it. They experience it. Yes, it's going to happen. That is realizations. And how that comes, Krishna explains in the next verse, 34th verse. This is 33 verse. That how by performing sacrifices one advances in knowledge and culminates in transcendental knowledge. And he says, tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadakshantite jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. Yesterday I was discussing with Jagannath Kirtan Prabhu. He was giving very nice purports to all the verses. Actually, he spoke a lot. We discussed a lot, but I'm not able to cover. But he heard this from His Holiness Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj. This particular verse has very interesting breakups. Like, what is the way to realize the transcendental knowledge? The bidhi, tat bidhi, is begins with pranipat, humility. With submissiveness, one approaches a spiritual master, then he submits his enquiries. So when it is answered, he actually gains the knowledge, but he has not realized it. He gains the knowledge, but by sevaya, the next pariprasanal sevaya, by rendering service with a pure desire to serve without any motives, when that service attitude is rendered to the spiritual master, one realizes the knowledge. Upadyakshantite jnanam jnanina tattva darshana. So in this way, the tattva or truth, what Krishna is asking in the beginning, evam uyaveti tattvata, the truth, it comes through rendering clean activities without material motives, then performing sacrifices to gain the knowledge, then render service to spiritual master without any motives, pure service, then one realizes the transcendental knowledge. And then Krishna's activities and pastimes becomes very clear, not bewildering to devotees. Krishna's pastimes are very bewildering in one sense. So janma karma chame devyam, the karma, all activities are also transcendental. To understand that, we have to go through all this rigorous process. Then we will relish Krishna's pastimes nicely. Otherwise, even very, very advanced person sometimes get bewildered by Krishna's pastimes, activities. So I'll end with one small pastime of Jagannath nowadays. This Snan Purnima just was over in Puri. The deities we see here, actually the Snan Purnima Darshan of Jagannath. Normally, we don't see Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra together because no camera is allowed inside the Jagannath temple. And when they come outside, they're on different carts. So we don't see them together. But here you see them together. This is another incident, another pastime where Jagannath comes out of the temple and sits on a very raised platform inside the temple compound. But those who are not allowed to enter the temple, they can have darshan of Jagannath from the road, from the grand road. So this is another opportunity where Jagannath gives his darshan to everyone. And this Lord Jagannath actually instructed King Indradyumna at that time only to arrange this Snan Yatra, Snan Purnima. So, on Akshatitya, the Chandana Yatra begins the day of summer and it goes on for 21 days. And after 21 days, this Snan Purnima, Chandana Yatra is over, but they continue to apply Chandana Lak Jagannath in Puri till Snan Purnima, day of Snan Purnima. In Jagannath Puri, Chandana Yatra means they apply Chandan to Jagannath every day and take the Uscha Murti to Narendra Sarobar, where they go on a, you know, water pastime. They sit on a boat and roam in that pond 4 or 5 times. Because summer is hot, so roaming in a boat in the evening is a very cooling effect. That pastime goes on there. And on the Snan Purnima, Lord Jagannath's, on his order, they put around 108 big pots of water. Pour on Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra, 108 pots. We take bath in 2 buckets maybe. But at one time, Jagannath takes a bath of 108 pots. So it happens in the summer time, in the middle of the day, like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. And then after that, Jagannath eats very late that day because of the darshan and all these festivals, the ceremony. So in the evening, they eat, and they eat a lot after taking a heavy bath. And they sit in the open air in the night for around 11 or 12 o'clock. And that is also cold. So hot, cold combinations makes Jagannath fall sick. And he catches fever. And this happens every year, Snan Purnima. So now, those are not very advanced, very difficult to appreciate. I was telling my nephew, Jagannath is going to catch fever today. I said, oh, I don't believe. He was saying like that. They're very difficult to explain to people. So much so that one pastime happened This was told to me by Nityananda Prabhu. He is expert in all these South Indian pastimes. So one alwar came to Jagannath Puri one time, long back, from Tirupati. He travelled all the way to, having a desire to see Lord Jagannath. That desire was very strong in his heart. But unfortunately he reached after Snan Purnima, and by that time Lord Jagannath already had a fever and the doors were closed. So he said, he was a very elevated devotee, exalted, pure devotee. Says, please, I have come all the way. Please allow me to take darshan of Jagannath. Then Panda said, no, not possible now. Jagannath is sick. No meetings. Just like when doctors say, like Jayapataka Swami was admitted. No private meetings. Only very few, like once a while, were allowed to see him. Very, very close, intimate people are allowed to see him and serve him. But for people like us, no entry. So even during this time, the Daitapatis, actually Daitapatis, they serve Jagannath. Even the normal puja pandaris, they are not also allowed. Very intimate people are allowed. And so this pujari said, no, it's not possible. Because he is sick, he is taking rest, and he doesn't want to see anybody. Then he said, how can you say the all supreme Lord, how can he catch fever? So he was confused. He could not accept it. That the Supreme Lord, he understood Lord as Narayan. So in that all Aishwarya form, all beautiful, all transcendental form, how could he catch fever? He could not understand. He said, no, I don't believe, please allow me. But they would not allow. They went and said to Jagannath, see, your devotee has come, but we are not allowing him because you are sick. That's all. The Panda informed the Jagannath and said, he has come, he is insisting, but we are not allowing because you are sick. And this person, after a few days, he thought, what is the use of my coming to Jagannath Puri? If I have come all the way to see Jagannath and the Lord is not appearing before me, what is the use of my life? The way pure devotee thinks, basically. He says, my life is useless if I cannot see Jagannath. So he decides to commit suicide. So he walks to the shore of ocean and walks into the ocean. Goes deeper and deeper and deeper. By that time, Lord Jagannath understands, here is my devotee, and just because he's not getting my darshan, he's willing to commit suicide, can't leave his body. So the devotee was thinking, I have got this body, senses, to engage in Krishna service. The eye is supposed to see Krishna. Since I'm not able to see Krishna, what is the use of my eyes? What is the use of my body? Let me give it up. That was his consciousness. So immediately Lord Jagannath summoned Hanumanji, who's standing there to block the ocean sound. There is Hanuman deity is there. He's not allowing the sound of ocean into the Jagannath complex. So inside the Jagannath temple complex, only the wind is allowed, but the sound is not allowed, so that Jagannath can release the wind without any disturbance while resting or whatever, while speaking. So he immediately summoned Hanumanji, said, you go and tell him to come out of the ocean and I will give him special darshan. So the Hanuman Jagan goes and catches him, says, oh, what are you doing? He said, I am committing suicide because Jagannath is not... All the story he tells. He said, do not worry. Just come with me. I know where is Jagannath and he will give you darshan. So he takes him by his hand to a nearby forest. A lot of forest besides this seashore. And there Lord Jagannath appeared in form of Narayan in front of this particular Alwar. And he is known as Alwar Nath, or Alaranath as we know today. So this Alvarnath deity is non-different from Jagannath. And therefore when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would feel separation from Jagannath, he would come to Alaranath and take accession of Jagannath in form of Narayan. So we can see in this pastime also how very difficult to appreciate Lord's pastimes, even for a transcendentalist. And we know there's our Dr. Alwa. He was Alwar and his Alwa. Different. So Dr. Alwa was there in Puri one time. During this time, when Jagannath got fever. So one pujari took him. He said, you can come inside. That is their, they have that rights. You can come inside because you're a doctor. So he was allowed to come inside. And when he touched Lord Jagannath's body, he said it was like 100 to 103 temperature. It was so hot. and he saw all the medicines and bought the medicine. He told the story in Vyasa was offering. So these pastimes are true, but for a mundane person, and even if he's a little bit advanced in, it will be difficult to appreciate. But when one has complete faith in everything Krishna's pastime, then Krishna's pastime actually manifests and we appreciate it. Hare Krishna. It's already a little late. Sorry for crossing the time. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki Tagore Premanande Hari Hari Bol.